Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the very top of Tes Zayin, we notice a Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, let us take a look at the side, the outside margin, where we have our Nosei topic heading that introduces this sugya. We have a Nosei, and we've also indicated numbers 1 through 3. We will see in the Mishnah itself, these numbers appear in a circle, 1, 2, and 3. These are Gimel Dugmos, three examples, shel korbonos, of sacrifices, diyesh bohen shnei matirin, that each one of which has two elements that cause the remainder to be allowed. We'll refer to them henceforth as matirin. For example, in a standard korban mincha, a standard meal offering, one needs to offer the handful of grain offering, the kometz, plus the lavona. The lavona, a spice that accompanies a standard meal offering. When one offers both of those elements, then the shirayim may be eaten by the kohanim. So we feature here three types of sacrifices that have two matirin. Upigel be'echod mehen. And while offering one of the matirin, the Kohen has an expressed pigel intention. For example, to eat the remainder outside of its official time boundary. In other words, if something is supposed to be eaten today, while burning the kometz or burning the lavona, he intends to eat the remainder tomorrow, the next day, which is a machsheves pigel. The Rebbe Meir pigel. According to Rebbe Meir, it's sufficient if you have the pigel mindset during one of the two matirin to create pigel. The Chachamim hold eino pigel ad shi fagel b'chol hamatir. The Chachamim hold that if you have a korban that has two matirin, pigel is not established until you have this incorrect mindset throughout both matirin. Turning to the Mishnah, pigel means he has this incorrect mindset to eat the remainder in the case of a meal offering the next day. B'kometz v'lo b'lavona. He has this mindset while processing the kometz, while burning the kometz and not the lavona. Or b'lavona v'lo b'kometz, or while burning the lavona and not the kometz. Rabbi Meir Omer Pigul v'chayovim olov kores. That is sufficient to establish pigul, and one who eats the remainder would be chayav the kores penalty. The chachomim omrim ein bo kores ad shifagil b'chol hamatir. The chachomim say there's no kores penalty until one has this incorrect intention throughout the entire matir, in this case, throughout the burning of the kometz and the lavona. It's pointed out when the Chachamim say there's no kores, it might be noted, but it is nevertheless rendered unfit by virtue of the fact that you had this incorrect mafshava during one of the matirin. Umoidim Chachamim the Rebbe Meir. The Chachamim will concede to Rebbe Meir that the machsheves pigel during the haktoras kometz of meal offering alone is enough to establish pigel b'minchas choitei uvemimchas kenois. With respect to these two type of meal offerings, shim pigel the koimetz shu pigel. That if he has the pigel intention during the offering of this koimetz, in the case of either the minchas chote or minchas kenos, it establishes pigel the chayovin lov koreitz. And there is a chiv koreis, even according to the Rabbonan. Shehakoimetz hu hamatia, because in the case of these two sacrifices, the sin meal offering and the sota meal offering, the sota is the special korban, special meal offering brought by the suspected married woman of immorality, there is no lavona that accompanies it. Hence, the koimetz of grain is the complete matir. Other examples of sacrifices that are classified as having two matirin: shochat echod min hakvosim lechol shnei chalos lemochar. This is featuring the kivsei atzeres, the two sheep that are brought on the holiday of Shavuos, along with the two sheep are two loaves, the two chalos that eventually are given to the Kohanim. In this case, he slaughters one of the two sheep. In order for the two loaves to be mutter, you have to slaughter both sheep. In this case, he slaughters one of the two sheep with the pigel mindset, and the pigel mindset being to eat the breads beyond their correct time, meaning eat them tomorrow. Or another example, hiktir echad min abozichin lechol shnei sdorim lemochar. This is talking about the lechem haponim, the two stacks, six loaves in each stack, that constitute the 12 loaves of the lechem haponim. In order for the lechem haponim to become mutter to the kohanim on Shabbos, every Shabbos these stacks of bread were changed. In order for the loaves to be allowed for kohen consumption, the two bozichin are two containers of lavona that sat on the shulchan from week to week along with the breads. These two bozichin contents, the names of the vessel are bozichin, they contain lavona. The contents of the bozichin must be offered on the mizbeach. So in this case, he has in mind to offer one of the bozichin with the intention of eating the two storim, the two stacks of lechem aponim, the next day, which is beyond its proper time. Rabbi Meir Omer, in these examples, Rabbi Meir says, Pigul v'chayov lov kareis. This is, of course, Rabbi Meir, consistent with his opinion that it's sufficient to be mefagel b'chatzi matir to create pigul. V'chachomim omrim ein bo kareis ad shifagel b'chol hamatir. Once again, the Chachomim say there is no kareis penalty. It's not a real pigul until you have the incorrect intention throughout both of the matirin. As we said before, when the Chachamim say ein bo kores, it doesn't mean the korban is kosher. It simply means that even though it's possible, even though it's unacceptable this way, nevertheless, it's not real pigul to generate a kores penalty. Shochat echod min hakvosim. We're now going back to the example of the kivsei atzeres, the two sheep. In this case, the two sheep that one brings on Shavuos in anticipation of eating the shtei halechem. Here, in this example, he shechs one of the kvasim, and here are two examples of what he has in mind. Le'echol mimenu lemochar. With the intention of eating from it, from the one keves that he shechs, he has intention of eating from it the next day. Hu pigul v'chaveiro kosher. The intention of eating from one keves results in that keves becoming pigul. Here, this is, by the way, different from the examples we saw before we spoke about the slaughtering of the kvosim having intentions concerning the bread. Here, he slaughters the sheep with the intention of eating the chaveiro, the other one, the next day. So, the one, let's say that again, he has intention of eating the one he is shechting the next day, so we say the one he shechted with that incorrect intention is pigul v'chavero kosher. Lechol mechavero l'mochor. If one has intention while slaughtering the keves to eat from the other one the next day, shnehem sherim, then both sheep are unaffected. As we look at the Gemara, we know this geometric forms. Initially, we see a house form around Rav and Shmuel a few lines later. On the outside margin, we have the Nosei Mivneh heading. Notice the little house form featured there. Machloikis Rav Shmuel. E Amrinon Shekola Oise Aldas Rishena Hu Oise. We'll see a Machloikis Rav and Shmuel concerning the idea that when one starts a multiple process activity, and during the first stage he has an incorrect intention, is it assumed that that incorrect intention continues to the subsequent stage? Omar Rav, Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. We saw in our Mishnah a Machlokes, whether if one is Mefagil B'chatzi Matir, does that establish Pigol? So Rav says that this Machlokes concerning Mefagil B'chatzi Matir is under the following circumstances. Shenosan es hakimetz b'shtika ves halavoyno b'machshova. That he places on the fire the kometz of grain of meal offering without any problematic intention. And the second placing, the lavona, there he has his pigol intention. Under those circumstances, Rav says, that's when Rabbi Meir says there be pigol, and the Chachamim say, no pigol. Avol, nosan es hakometz b'machshava ves halavona b'shtika. If he starts off the process already with a problem, with a problematic mindset, he places the kremitz with the machshava of eating the shirayim lemochar, so he's chishev barishona. Then, when he continues the second stage of burning the lavona, he doesn't have any expressed problematic mindset. Divrei HaKol, even the Chachamim will agree, pigol, that this is pigol, even though technically speaking, he had a machshava during only half of the matir, but his machshava was at the first stage. So as a result of the machshava being at the first stage, even the Chachamim agree that it's pigul shikola oise, aldas, rishona hu oise, that when people conduct themselves or behave in a particular way, they follow the initial way they behaved. In other words, if you started off with an incorrect mindset, that establishes the pattern for the rest of the offering. So here you offered the first of the two matirin with an incorrect mindset. The Chachamim say we will assume this incorrect mindset straight through. Ushmuel Omar, Adayin Hu Machlokes. Shmuel says that even where you start off the process with an incorrect mindset, that does not, according to the Chachamim, that doesn't necessarily bear on the continuation. And it remains a machlokes, according to Shmuel, if you had the machshava during only one of the two matirin, even if it happened to be during the offering of the first of the two matirin. Yosef Rava v'ka'omar law l'ha shmaitza. Rava was sitting and said over the teaching of Rav. He said over Rav's opinion. Now present, when Rava was teaching this over, was Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. So Rav Acha bar Rav Huna raises a question on the Rav approach. Just to review, Rav's approach is that everyone will agree, even the Chachamim will agree, that if you start off with the incorrect mindset, then the whole thing becomes pigol. Before going further, we ought to take note of the fact that we just encountered a new marking, a triangle, and the outside margin, you notice the triangle is featured with a parentheses expression, ma'akav. In this sugya, we will be using the triangles to keep track of the give and take nature of the discussion, the back and forth structure. So with the triangle facing upwards, the point facing upwards, these will represent kushyos al Rav, questions on Rav, or problems for Rav. With the triangle flipping over, with the point facing down, that will represent responses. And if you skim ahead on this Daf Gemara, you will notice that these triangles appear quite a few times, with their of changing directions. In fact, you will notice that they continue not only to the bottom of the Omid, but at the very top of Omid Beis, we'll see the final triangle in this discussion. The Gemara continues, as we said, with a question Rav Acha raises on Rav's opinion. Esvei Rav Acha bar Rav huna l'rova. We have a Tanaic source. Before getting into the details of the source, let us try to navigate a little bit with our markings. If you skim ahead just with your eyes, you'll see the names Rabbi Meir and the Chochamim. That indicates that there is a machlokes. At the end of the framed section, which is a Tanaic source, as is characteristic in our marking system, where we frame off Tanaic sources, there's a quote from this Tanaic source that appears right afterwards, where it says, Kotoni Miha. In the quote, in the excerpt from this source, there is featured an example of Nosanas HaKoymetz B'machshavos Avona B'shtika, where there's a two-stage, there are two matirin, and he does the first one with a machshava. Now, according to Rav, if you start off with the machshava, machshava means the machshava's pigul, if you start off with an incorrect mindset, then according to Rav, everyone will agree that you establish pigul. Well, we have a source in which you see a case where you have the first stage done by machshava, and yet there is a machloikes. Rav said that if the first stage is done with the incorrect machshava, everyone will agree that it's pigul. Yet here we see first stage done with an incorrect machshava, with a pigul machshava, and yet there is a machlokes. Not everyone is in agreement. That is a problem for Rav's position. So now let's learn the source. Bameh dvar mamurim. When is it that machshava, machsheves avoidas kometz is mefagel, that an incorrect machshava during the kometz activity, during the kometz, the handful processing, pigul could be established? So the source tells us, bekmitza uvematan kli ubehiluch, while taking the handful, if one has an incorrect machshava, for example, to eat the remainder, the shirayim, the next day, ubematan kli, the taking of the placing of the handful in the second service vessel, ubihiluch, the carrying of it to the mizbeach. If during any one of these three stages one has a pigul machshava, that will establish pigul. Aval bo loy lahaktora. But now we come to the burning stage. Then, when it comes to the burning stage, there are two elements that are burnt. There's the handful, and there is the lavona. The ideas we're talking about now, we've already learned in the Mishnah. Nosan es hakoymetz b'shtika ves halavona b'machshava. Let us say he does the kometz, the burning of the handful without any problem mindset, and the lavona with a machshava, meaning an incorrect mindset. Or another case, as a kometz b'machshava, he does the first stage, the kometz, the first action of burning, he does with an incorrect machshava. And we've dashed underlined this. This is going to be of central importance for the question that we'll see later. So he does the first stage with a machshava, machsheves pigul, v'as halavoyme b'shtika. The second stage he does without any machshava. Rabbi Meir Omer, pigul, v'chayav lov koreis. Rabbi Meir says that establishes pigul. V'chachom omrim, ein boi koreis ad shifage b'chol hamatir. Now we've not underlined this expression, ein boi koreis, to convey the idea that the chachomim, with all of these examples in mind, insist even in this last example, there's no kores, even though he started off with an incorrect machshava. There's no kores until one has the machsheves pigul throughout the entire matir. And in this case, the entire matir is the kometz and the lavona. Kotoni miha. It states here, however, and this is the excerpt from the source, Notzan as a kaimetz b'machshava v'salavoyne b'shtika. Once again, we've underlined the word machshava to show you that the first stage of this burning is with a pigul intention. The second stage he does b'shtika upligi, and there is nevertheless a machloikes between Rabbi Meir and the Chumim, even in this case. Notice with our markings, what we've tried to do with this dashed underline is compare the word upligi with the original Rav statement. You have to skim up the page, and you'll notice the line above Shmuel's house, you'll see in the middle of that line, Divrei HaKol was under the same circumstances. Just if you navigate with the markings, the Divrei HaKol was coming on the heels of this very same case of Nosan Kometz b'machshava, just like you see over here, Nosan Kometz b'machshava. What did Rav say above? He said Divrei HaKol. Everyone agrees that it's Pigul. Here you see Pligi. Pligi means there's an argument. So the Gemara is pointing out from this Tanaic source, we have a challenge to Rav's approach. The Gemara tries to answer on behalf of Rav, and you can see the triangle flipped over. And if you wanted to stick with the Amoraim we had before, this would in effect be Rava answering the challenge that Rav Acha posed to him. And Rava in this sugya is representing Shitas Rav. So he answers, Ema, understand this case as Ukvar Nosan es Halavoina b'shtika meikara. That where it says here, Vesalavona b'shtika, it doesn't mean it was the second stage. It means he had already done the Lavona b'shtika. That would be a case of Nosan, first stage b'shtika, and then the second stage b'machshava. So according to this rereading, you have this example. If we use our numberings in the source, we would say that this case of Bayes, the Bayes case, the second case where we had numbered them off Aleph and Bayes, the second case involves where the original stage was done b'shtika. Well, to this we raise two problems. Shtei tshuvos b'dover. This is a question. There are two problems with this answer. Chada dehainu kamaisa. One problem is that if you set up this case of the case Bayes according to the Emo approach, namely that the first stage was in truth done b'shtika, well, go back to the source where we had the Aleph and Bayes a few lines up in the the source in which the Machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim appeared. If you set up the Bayes case as the first stage really having been done b'shtika, that's what the Aleph case presented. What do I need two cases that say the same thing? Because in the Aleph case also we saw he did the koimetz b'shtika, namely the first stage was done without a machshava. The Ode. A further objection, Hotanya. There is a brisa that here it's quoted in a very brief fashion, but in the Braisa it has the same case with a one word change, where it says achar kach. In other words, case Bayes that was in that quote in the Braisa, where you can see where it said kotoni miha, it said as follows. We're just going to reread the excerpt that was quoted as a problem before on Rav, and you'll see that it really is a problem, and that you can't say the Emo approach. What does it say according to this this question, the second question? It said there, Nosan es hakoimetz b'machshava v'achar kach halavona b'shtika. Instead of what we have in our quote above, where it said v'es halavona b'shtika, it says in this Braisa, that's quoted only as one word, but it really means to say v'achakach nosan halavona b'shtika, so that you can't say the Emo approach, which suggested that the expression v'es halavona b'shtika meant that the lavona had already been done b'shtika, when we have this brisa that says achakach, that the Lavona was done after the Kometz. So you have a case, positively, where the first stage was done b'machshava, and the second stage was done b'shtika, and it's not pigul according to the Chachomim. But Rav himself had said that under such circumstances, even the Chachomim would agree that it is pigul. Tirgumo Rav Chanina, here we have another answer to defend Rav's position. Rav Chanina explains that the source that featured the Kometz and the Lavona, Bishnei Deos, there were two Kohanim that were processing the Mincha. As a result of it was two separate Kohanim, so that's not the case Rav addressed at all. Rav was talking about one person who starts off with an incorrect mindset, so it can be assumed he'll continue with that incorrect intention straight through. If you're dealing with two separate people, so the fact that Mr. 1 had an incorrect mindset has no bearing on Mr. 2. So you would then go be left with what the original case of a machsheves pigul during chatzi matir and ein hochinami, and in truth the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe Meir under those circumstances because of their position ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir. Toshma, here once again the Gemara tries to raise a question on Rav's position. You'll notice that we have a long question marking. Actually, we had one before as well. This one happens to be a little longer, and this is illustrated by the kuf that you can see with a triangle around it to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, with a vertical dashed line that follows. In this source, there will be featured blood sprinklings that take place inside the Heichal. We will see in this source, once again, a lot of details, and following the main source, there will be a quote, an excerpt from the source from which we will develop the question on Rav. Before going too much further, we ought to point out that in this source, you will once again see a machlokes Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim. When you see a machlokes, you have to realize that that already creates a red light for Rav, because Rav spoke about a situation of divrei hakol. But of course, we don't know anything yet. We have to discover under what circumstances is there a machlokes. If we happen to find that in this source there is an example of starting off with an incorrect machshava and a continuation with silence, and nevertheless, the Chachamim say that even though one started off with an incorrect machshava, there is still no guarantee that it will be pigul. That will be a problem for Rav. So before learning the source with all its details, let's just skip to see the excerpt from this source to get a feeling of what the kasha is going to be. So after the framed source you see, it says at the beginning of the line, Kotoni Miha. And it says there, Pigil, Bein Borishoina, Bein Bishnia, Bein Bishlishis. For our purposes, it's sufficient to see that we dashed underline Bein Borishoina. That would mean there's a Pigil Machshava during a first stage, indicating that the first stage had a problematic mindset. The subsequent stages did not necessarily have a problematic mindset. Being that it was that during the first stage of this offering, there was a problematic mindset, according to Rav, that would have set everything into motion, into the pigul mode, because kol oisal das rishona oisa, and yet, you see the Chachamim saying that there is no pigul, by having had a pigul machshava during the first stage. That will be a problem for Rav. Now, we can learn the entire source. Toshma. Bamed Vomamurim. When is it stated that with one blood application you can establish pigul? Bedomim Hanin al Mizbeach HaChitzon. That's true with regard to sacrifices that are done on whose blood applications are done on the outside Mizbeach. The reason for this is that even though there are certain korbanos that have multiple blood applications, with the minimum of one application, you have fulfilled your basic requirement. Being that that's the case, the one application being absolutely essential, it's also so that through one application, you could establish a pigul status. Practically speaking, that would mean that if while doing a singular blood application by a korban chatas that ordinarily has four blood applications, by doing a singular blood application with the intention of eating the meat the next day, that will establish pigul. That is because you're dealing with an external sacrifice. Avodomim hanitin al mizbeach hapnimi. However, with regard to blood of sacrifices who are designed to be offered in the Heichal, Kagon, and there are a few examples in this source. 43, Mem Gimel, Shel Yom HaKippurim, the 43 blood applications of the Yom Kippur sacrifices. The Achas Esrei Shel Par Kohen Moshuach, or the 11 blood applications concerning the sacrifice brought by the Kohen Godol in the event that he issues an erroneous legal ruling. The Achas Esrei Shel Par Helom Dover Shel Tzibur, or the 11 blood applications of the Korban brought when the Sanhedrin, when the High Court issues an erroneous legal ruling. That's the Par Helom Dover Shel Tzibur. In those cases, there are multiple blood applications. Pigel, Bein Borishoino, Bein Bishnia, Ubein Bishlishis. The reference here is to three separate sets of blood applications. This would be appropriate if you're dealing with the Yom Kippur offering. You have a blood application between the poles of the Aron HaKodesh in the inner sanctum in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. You have a second set of blood applications done on the curtain between the Kodesh HaKodeshim and the Kodesh the Poroches, and a third set of blood applications on the Mizbeach HaZohav. Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigul V'chayovim Olov Kores. Having had a incorrect mindset during the any one of these sets of blood applications, that would establish pigul, carrying with it the kores penalty. The chachomim omrim ein bo kores ad shifagil b'chol hamatir. The chachomim say that having an incorrect mindset during any one set is not sufficient. You'd have to have the incorrect mindset during all three sets of blood applications. Kotoni miha, it states here, however, pigel bein borishona, bein bishnia, ubein bishlishis. This is a quote from the source we just got finished reading. And in this source it said that if he had a machsheves pigel during, whether it be the first set, or the second set, or the third set, only Rabbi Meir says that there's pigul, but the Chachamim disagree. That's upligi, means the Chachamim nevertheless disagree. Even though there was an example of pigul barishona, we do not say that the shnia and the shlishis are done with the same mindset that was established at the beginning. V'chitema hochinami b'shtei deos, and if you try to explain this source like we did above, we saw above, after the first question was raised, we saw Rav Chanino say, B'shtei Deos. So if you think to say the same thing over here, Ha Nicho Lema Domar B'par V'afilu B'domoy Shel Par. This is a very, very abbreviated quote, but it involves the following case. We're suggesting right now the idea of Shtei Deos. What does that mean if you're dealing with Yom Kippur? Right now, you're dealing with blood applications that are done by the Kohen Gadol. So how can you have a situation of Shtei Deos, meaning two Kohen Gadols? After all, the nature of the Yom Kippur service is that only the Kohen Gadol does all of the Yom Kippur activities. So, how do you have two deos? That could arise in a case where the Kohen Gadol started, let us say, the blood applications in the, let's say, the first stage in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and then after the first stage, he became unfit. In such a case, a replacement Kohen Gadol is brought in, and according to this first Manda Omar that we see here, the second Kohen Gadol, the replacement Kohen Gadol, uses the same blood that the first Kohen Gadol started with. He picks up where the first one left off and continues doing the second and third stages of blood applications using the same blood that the first Kohen Gadol started with. That is that's reflected in this approach that says Bepar. The word Bepar essentially is from the Pasuk that says Bezois Yavon Aron El HaKodesh Bepar Ben Bokar. It uses the word Bepar, and we explain Bepar means not only the cow, but even the blood of the cow is considered sufficient. Namely, that if you have a replacement Kohen Gadol, you don't have to produce a replacement cow. Elo leman de omar bepar veloy bedomoy shel par mai iko lememar. But according to the man de omar that says that the replacement Kohen Gadol cannot use the first Kohen Gadol's animal blood in the event that the first Kohen Gadol becomes pasul. So how do you have two deos with regard to the blood applications? Therefore, at this point, we still have a problem. Since we can't use, according to this second opinion, that you don't, the second Kohen Gadol, when he replaces the first one, he doesn't use the original blood. How do you have two deos? Omar Rava, Hocho b'mayaskinon. Rava says that this Tanaic source that was presented as a kasha on Rav is talking about a unique case. Kegoin shepigel borishoina v'shosak b'shnia upigel b'shlishis. Here, he expressed his pigel intention at the first stage, remained silent at the second stage, and did the third stage of blood applications once again with a pigel intention. The Amrinon, we say, in this case, e salka daitoch kala oisaldas rishoina hu oise, if this person had the intention of doing the subsequent acts with his original mindset, his original pigel mindset, Mehadir Piguli Bishlishis Lamali. Why did he have to bother stating his Pigal intention at the third stage again? Apparently, therefore, this case is an expressly stated case of someone not relying on his Das Rishona. In general, though, if one stated his Pigal intention at the first stage alone and didn't restate it later, so then everyone would agree he is relying on his first stage or initial stated Pigal intention. Only here, because he did the first stage, remained silent at the second, and restated the third, apparently during the second stage he was not relying on his Das Rishona, and as a result of that you don't have a Pigal intention through all of the blood applications. And that's why the Chachamim will tell you in this case there is no Kores. Maskif law Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi has a difficulty with this answer. He asks, Midi Shosak Kotani, does it teach in the source silence According to the Rava answer, the source described the case of silence during the second stage, but it doesn't say that in the source. Ella Omar Rav Ashi, Hocha b'mayaskinon, Kegoin shepigel borishona ubashnia. In this case, he expressed his intention of pigel during the first stage, and he restated it during the second stage. The Amrinon, we say, regarding this case, if it were so that this fellow, this Kohen, was behaving in his subsequent stages based on his first stage, why did he have to restate his intention during the second stage? So apparently, only because he restated his intention during the second stage, assuming that he remains silent during the third stage, there will not be pigel, because he is not someone that's basing himself, he will call him an exceptional case, he is not basing himself on his initial mindset. However, if he would have stated his pigel intention at the first stage alone, and continued the subsequent stages without any stated pigel intention, then even the Chumim would agree that only here, because of his stated intention, do we see that this guy is not relying on his Das Rishona. The Gemara asks, on this approach of Rav Ashi, v'ha bain katani, the source itself indicated that he had a machshava only during one stage, that's the case. He had a machshava during one stage alone, whether it was the first or the second or the third. And since one of these examples is an incorrect mindset stated at the first stage, and then subsequent silence throughout the following stages, and still the Chachamim held there would not be pigel, that presents a kasha on Rav. And hence the Gemara, as you can see, concludes kasha. This is a difficulty for Rav's position. Omar Mar. Here we have a quote of that which we have seen before. Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigol v'chayovin alav kores. This we saw, and you'll notice we have a squiggled arrow indicating to look at Omid Aleph, and if you glance back at Omid Aleph, you'll find a squiggled arrow on the lower part of the page, lower half, indicating to look at Omid Beis, and on that line you see where Rabbi Meir, where his name appears. This is introduced, this piece of Gemara is introduced by our Nosei, topic heading in the outside margin. The Nosei says, Alibo de Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, the Mefagil Betchilas Matnas Adam Shel Yom Kippur B'Kodesh HaKadoshim, that one who states his pigul intention during the first stage of the Matnas Adam in the Holy of Holies, Have Pigul, that establishes the sacrifice as being pigul. Lama, why? Why should that become pigul? Hare, Me'achar Shenifsal, once it is ruined, namely after the first stage is done with the pigul intention, you are telling us that the korban is ruined. Hemshich matnes hadam have kemayo bi'alma. The continued blood applications is as if you're sprinkling water. The ein pigul ad sheyikruvu kol hamatirin, and we know that pigul is not established until all of the matir elements are offered. So that after, if you tell me that after the first stage you've established pigul, then the continuation, it would seem, is as if you're sprinkling water. And water means in your mind, we'll call it meaningless blood, is called water. and you don't fulfill the basic requirement of Pigul as being that which is established after all of the necessary matirin are done. In this particular case, according to the way we're presenting the question, you haven't finished your matnas dam. At this point, the Gemara will raise a question. We've labeled this as with a long question marking, and you can see that to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. So let's start again from the top line. Omar Ma, Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigul v'chayovin olav kores, and that was the case of the blood applications. Multiple stage blood applications, and Rabbi Meir said, even if after the first stage of blood applications you had a pigul mindset, that ruins the korban. The Gemara asks, Mifti, let's look into this. Kores lo mechayev ad shiyukrivu kol hamatirin. Kores is not established until all of the matir elements are offered. The Omar Mar, Ye Rotseh, based on the word that is found in the pasuk. The following drosha is stated, and this is a drosha that lasts a few lines, and we have singular quotation marks indicating the length of this particular drosha. Kehartzoas kosher kehartzoas posel. Just like to establish full acceptability of a kosher sacrifice, a kosher offered sacrifice, so too, in order to establish a posel, a pigul korban, you would also have to apply the same standard, with, of course, the one exception of the incorrect mindset at a particular stage. But otherwise, the two, the pigul and the kosher korban, have to be processed the same way. Ma hartzos kosher ad shikrivu kol hamatirin, just like a kosher korban is considered kosher and acceptable only when you complete offering all of the matir elements, af hartzos posel, so too in establishing a korban to become pigul, ad shikrivu kol hamatirin, you have to finish offering all of the matir elements. The high, and in this case, for example, the Yom Kippur sacrifice, kevon dechoshiv bo bifnim pasle, since you had the pigul machshava during the blood applications in the inner sanctum, you ruined the korban. Ki modi behechal, modi means mazeh. Mazeh means to sprinkle. When you continue the sprinklings in the hechal, that's, let's say, at the curtain, that's the second stage of blood applications, mayo bi'almuhu de ko modi, he in effect is sprinkling that which is worth no more than mere water. And if that be the case, you don't have a situation of his completing the matirin, which is the completion of all of the blood applications. Omar Rabba. Rabba explains that you, even though you have an incorrect mindset during the first stage, nevertheless, the subsequent blood applications might be in fact done in an acceptable way to fulfill the requirement of Yikrivu Kol HaMatirin. And how could that be? So Rabbo says, Mishkachas lo ba'arbo'o porim ve'arbo'o si'irim. An example of that would be, let us say, the Kohen Gadol did the application of the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a pigul mindset. And then the blood spilled out. What happens now? He has to bring a replacement animal and pick up from where he left off. However, the replacement animal is not, hasn't been, no blood application has been done from it, so the replacement animal, we're not going to call it pigul. Its blood is totally good. We're not going to classify it as water. Therefore, the first par, the first cow whose blood was sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which was done with a pigal intention, according to Rabbi Meir, that will establish the first cow as being, in fact, pigal. And if you'll ask, well, what about the need to complete all of the Yom Kippur blood applications? To that, Rabbah explains, the Yom Kippur blood applications will be accomplished through the use of the additional cows. The citation here of four cows simply gives you a case of the maximum situation where you can have after the second blood application, the blood spills out from that. So you'll need to have a replacement cow for that, and that will for the third stage, which are the blood applications on the corner of the Mizbeach. And then there's a fourth series of blood applications on Yom Kippur on the top of the Mizbeach. Rava's a second approach to this whole question. He says, Afilu temo par echod v'sor echod. Even without coming on to this unique answer of Rabba, even sticking with the original cow, the first stage of blood applications was done with a pigal intention, and it's true that it ruins the korban. However, we're not going to classify the subsequent blood applications as mere water. L'fguli merazi, it is sufficient to create pigal. This kind of blood, the blood whose first stage was done with a pigal intention, is sufficient. It is sufficient to continue the blood applications, fulfill the idea of yikrivu kol matirin, for the purpose of establishing pigal. At this point, the Gemara focuses on the number of blood applications that are done on Yom Kippur. We saw on Omer Aleph, and we have a little star here to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omer Aleph, so that if you scroll back to Omer Aleph, you'll notice a star there indicating Omer Beis, and you'll see where this quote comes from. There was an indication that on Yom Kippur there were 43, Arboim V'Sholosh, 43 applications. The Gemara asks, "V'hatanya arboim v'sheva," but we have another source that indicates that there are 47 blood applications on Yom Kippur. When we speak about Yom Kippur, we're referring to the cow and goat sin offerings, whose blood is processed in the Kodesh HaKodashim amongst besides the additional blood applications. Even though on Yom Kippur there are many more sacrifices, when we are talking about these numbers, we're focusing specifically on the par of the Kohen Gadol and the Sawyer of the Klal Yisrael. Before going on in the Gemara and trying to answer the seeming discrepancy, we mentioned two numbers so far, 43 and 47. How do we get to these numbers in the first place? So we have a little chart on the inside margin showing these numbers. The par and the soyer both have 8 applications each in the inner sanctum, the Kodesh Kodoshim. Likewise on the paroches. So at that point, by looking at the chart, you can see we've accounted for 32 blood applications. Then there is blood applications on the Mizbeach, the Karnos HaMizbeach. There are two opinions about how those are done. According to the first opinion, when it comes to the Karnos HaMizbeach, you then mix the blood of the par and the sor into one receptacle and continue those four additional blood applications. That would account for 36. In other words, we had the 32 that we mentioned, accounted for before, plus these four Karnos HaMizbeach, and then there's a subsequent 7 application on the top of the sprinkling of the blood on the top of the golden altar in the Heichal. That accounts for another 7. So going from 36 and 7, that gets you to 43. The Gemara said, but we have a brisa that says 47. So the Gemara answers, Lo kashya, ha kemado ma'arvin lekronos, v'ha kemado omar ein ma'arvin. according to the opinion that says that you mix the blood for as early as the corner application, corners of Mizbeach application. So if I mix them, I'm going to have a total of four applications with regard to the corners of the Mizbeach. The other opinion that says you don't mix the blood yet for that, you'll only mix them for the Tiharo stage, for the final stage. If that be the case, so that I gain an additional four applications with regard to the corners, so instead of 43, I have a total of 47. The Gemara asks, "Mahatanya arboim ushmoina." There's a source that says that there are 48 blood applications on Yom Kippur. This is not included on our chart because it's just all we're trying to account for is one more blood application. The Gemara answers, "Lo kashya, ha kemandar mar shirayim ma'akvin, ha kemandar mar shirayim loy ma'akvin." The shirayim is a reference to the blood that's left over after all of these applications take place. That blood is called shirayim. The question is there an obligation? Is it binding to spill that blood on the base of the outside mizbech, the outside altar, the altar that sits in the courtyard? So one opinion says that too is binding. So that will jack up the number from 47 to 48. If you hold, however, that the shirayim are not ma'akev, they're not binding, so we will tell you that only 47 applications are binding on Yom Kippur with regard to the par v'soyer. We have a new topic. This is introduced by a topic heading, the nosei in the outside margin. Pigel b'hoilochas kemitza. While carrying the kemitza to the mizbeach in the azorah for burning, he has an intention to eat the shirayim the next day. So we have a machsheves pigel during hoilocha, the carrying of the kemitza. Haim nechshav chatzi avoida. Is hoilochas kemitza considered a chatzi, like a chatzi matir, a chatzi avoda? Why would you call it a half? Me'achar she'esh nami hoilocha de levoino. Just like, since there is also hoilocha when it comes to the levona spice. Ve'im kain, and if you say that hoilochas kemitza is a chatzi avoda, Have kahaktoras koimetz, it will then be classified like the burning of the koimetz, the havi chatzi matir, which we've already spoken about in the past, in the Mishnah, that when it comes to the burning of the koimetz, that is considered a chatzi matir because there is a burning that applies to the Levona as well. And if that be the case, v'emachloikis rabbi meir b'chachomim b'mefaglin b'chatzi matir, that will then cause holocha to be part of the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, just like the case of Haktoras Koimetz was a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. That if, while doing the Holochas Koimetz, one has a machsheves pigol, and while doing the Holochas Levona, he does not have a machsheves pigol, according to Rabbi Meir, it would be pigol anyway, because mefaglim mechatzi matir, and according to the Chachamim, since Holocha is only a Chatzi Avoda, and he has a Machsheves Pigul only during the Holocha Sakemitza, there would not be Pigul because of their Shita of Ein Mefaglin B'Chatzi Matir. So the question is, what is the story with regard to the Holocha of the Kemitza? So we will see in our Gemara, according to Reish Lakish, Holocha Kehaktora, that Holocha is a Chatzi Avoda, just like Haktora. The Rabbi Yochanan, Holocha Kekemitza. According to Rabbi Yochanan, halacha will be viewed like the process of taking the handful. The initial taking of the handful of the meal offering, if one has a machsheves pigol during that stage, the Chachamim agree that will establish pigol because that is a complete avoda. There is no kemitza taking when it comes to the Lavona. As the Gemara unfolds, we will notice a new geometric form. We will see a volcano shape, or a trapezoid if you prefer. And we have this described under our Mivneh heading. With the narrow part facing up, We've also called this, by the way, ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take nature of the Gemara. So with the narrow part facing upwards, this will be l'toivas Reish Lakish. This will benefit Reish Lakish's position. With the narrow part facing downwards, that will be l'toivas Rabbi Yochanan. It might be interesting to note that as the Gemara unfolds, it starts off trying to give the impression that Reish Lakish's approach is better. In the middle of this sugya, there will be a turnaround where a new source is presented, at which point the attempt will be to give more weight to Rabbi Yochanan's approach and then putting Reish Lakish on the defensive. So once again, the first half of this sugya will see Rabbi Yochanan being put on the defensive. Later there will be a switch. We will be able to notice this by focusing on the position each time of this volcano shape. So the Gemara, Ibaya Laho, Pigel Bohilocha Mahu. A person has a stated Pigel intention during the Holocha of the Kemetz. Mahu, is this considered a Chatzi Avoda? After all, there is Holocha by Lulavona, and if you do call it a Chatzi Avoda, the Rabbanon will disagree, will be cholek on Rabbi Meir. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Holocha kikmitza. Rabbi Yochanan says Holocha is considered an Avoda Shlema, just like Kmitza is an Avoda Shlema. After all, there is no Kmitza by Lavona. Reish Lakish Omar Holocha kiaktora. Holocha, in Reish Lakish's opinion, is parallel to Haktorah. And with regard to Haktorah, we know there's a Machlokes, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim. The Chachamim holding that it's considered only a Chatzi Matir. As a result, of course, of it being a Chatzi Matir, having a Machsheves Pigel during only half of the activity won't be sufficient to establish Pigel, once again, Lafi the Chachamim. Bishlamo the Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish's approach seems more likely. Ika nami hoylocha the Lavona. Since there is the same process done to the Lavona also, when you're focusing on the hoylocha of the Kemetz, it seems reasonable to classify it as a Chatzi Avoda. Elul Rabbi Yochanan, my taima, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that parallels hoylocha to Kemitza, and that the Chachamim would not disagree, why does he hold that position when, after all, there is Holocha by the Lavona also? Answer for Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Rava, Kosov Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Avoda She'eno Materis. Any Avoda which doesn't function as a Matir. Holocha, for example, is not classified as a Matir. A matir is something that's essential, without which the remainder would not be mutter. Holocha, on the other hand, is not essential. We can illustrate that by the fact that, and Rashi points this out, the handful taken can be handed from one kohen to the next without any actual walking or carrying of it, carrying through walking to the Mizbeach. And as a result of that, Holocha is called an Avodah She'eno Materis. Once again, it's not a binding activity. It's not an essential activity, as it can be circumvented through a different process of handing a handoff of the Kometz from one to the other without any actual walking to begin with. As a result of that, there's a rule that Rabbi Yochanan says, any Avodah that's not Materis, Avoda chashuvahi lefagil oleo bifnei atzma. One could establish or accomplish pigol through it alone. So in our case, through the hoylochas kemetz alone, pigol could be established without the need to have a machshavas pigol during hoylochas levoina. Amalei Abaye. We see now a question on this. This would be in effect, since we're going to ask a question on the answer that defended, Rabbi Yochanan will call this a point in favor of Reish Lakish. Nevertheless, this is a question on the answer Rava just gave. Omar le Abaye, Hare Shchitas Echod Min HaKvosim. The slaughtering of one of the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos. We have the Shavuos offering known as the Kivsei Atzeres, which is comprised of two sheep. The slaughtering of one of them is the Avoda She'eno Materes, he. It's an action that does not create heter. Upligi. And yet, there is a Machlokes, namely, the Chachomim will not agree that Pigol is established. So we'll have an example of an Avoda She'eno Materes. According to Rava's rule, an Avoda She'eno Materes is sufficient to create Pigol. Here we have an example of an Avoda She'eno Materes, and the Chachomim will say it does not create Pigol. So let's see the source. Tisnan Shochad Echad Min HaKvosim Lechu Shtei Chalos Lemochar. He shechted one of the two Kivsei Atzeres with the intention of eating the two breads of Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem, at the wrong time the next day. Hikter Echad Min HaBozichin Lechol Shnei Sidarim Lemochar. Or he offered one of the Bozichin containing the Levona with the intention of eating all of the Lechem upon him the next day. Rabbi Meir Amar Pigul Chalav Kores. Ramirez says that that's sufficient for establishing Kores. The Chachomim Omrim, Ein Bo Kores Ad Shifagel B'chol Hamatir. There is no Kores unless one had his Machshevas Pigol during both sheep slaughterings. So at this point, we have an illustration of an action that is, it's an avoda she'eino materes. The shechit of one sheep is not matir. According to Rava's rule, to explain Rabbi Yochanan, that should be sufficient for creating pigul, and yet we see here, according to the Chachamim, it's not sufficient. Omale. So now Rava responds, Mi savris lechem Betanur Kadosh, who says that the breads, the Shtei Alechem of Shavuos, gain their sanctity in the oven in which they are baked. Shchitas Kvosim Mekadsho Lei. It's the slaughtering of the sheep that establishes their sanctity. Behabo Lekadesh Kebo Lahatir Domi. One who does an action that establishes sanctity is similar to an action that establishes heter. And in such a case, you're dealing with an avoda that is essentially an avoda hamateres. And in the case of an avoda hamateres, in this case it's technically an avoda hamekadeshes, but in such a case, the rule that Rava said doesn't apply. Rava's rule above was an avoda she'eino materes, but this action of slaughtering the sheep, since it establishes the sanctity of the breads, it is classified as an avoda hamateres, and in such a case, you have to have the pigul intention throughout the entire avoda hamateres, namely both sheep. Simply stated, this case of the slaughtering of the singular sheep, the one of two sheep of the Shavuos offering, is not parallel to the case of Hoylocha. Mosiv Rav Simi Barashi. This source concerns the Korban Pesach. In the case of the Korban Pesach, there's no extra element that needs a heter. There's no breads involved. And it says in this source, before going on, since we said what we did concerning the Shchitas Pesach, that it has no bread, we're not dealing with breads that need sanctification. So we're going to raise a new question from the case of Korban Pesach on Rava's approach. Rava's approach, of course, was in defense of Rabbi Yochanan. So we see a problem coming up, and you can see that through the volcano shape with the narrow part facing upwards. So Rav Simi asks, Acherim Oimrim, Hikdim Mulim La'arelim Kosher, if while slaughtering the Korban Pesach, you had in mind people fit to eat from it, those are the Mulim, those are people that are circumcised, as opposed to Arelim, uncircumcised individuals, but if you thought initially concerning the Mulim that they would eat from the Korban Pesach, that's legitimate. Hikdim Arelim L'mulim, Pusel. If, however, you had in mind the Arelim before you had in mind the Mulim, that would render the Korban Pesach unfit. You have an incorrect mindset. The Kaimalon, the Bechatzi Matir Pligi. The Chatzi Matir that we're referring to here are the simonim of Shechita. When slaughtering takes place, there are two tubes that are severed in the animal's neck, the trachea and the esophagus. So during one tube, his thought concerns one type of person, and during the cutting of the other tube, he has the thought concerning the other kind of person. Let's look at the Rashi, a few lines down from here, toward the lower part of the narrow lines. The Kaimalon beperik tomid nishchat b'maseches psachim. Alma, in other words, Rashi is telling us that this issue is found in the fifth perek of Maseches Pesachim, Tomid Nishchat. Alma ba'avoda she'eino materes v'lo mekadeshes. Here we're talking about the slaughtering, the cutting of one tube. One tube, he has this in mind, and the other tube, he has something else in mind. So he has an avoda, one tube is not matir, and one tube is not mekadesh anything, because we don't have bread to become sanctified. Kagon hocha doleko lechem, the tiskadesh leshita, and yet pligi nami rabbonon, the rabbonon disagree. In other words, that there isn't necessarily pigel or let's say psul established. Here we're not dealing with pigel, but we're dealing with psul. There isn't necessarily psul established with an action that is a non-matir. And that is a kasha on Rava, because Rava said that if you have a machsheves psul during an avoda that's not matir, it is sufficient in and of itself to render something unfit. Here we see a case where he has a machsheves psul during the slaughtering, the cutting of the second tube, or the machsheves psul during the second tube, and yet we say it's kosher. Omar Le, so Rava answers, Mi Savris Dam Betsavor Beima Kodosh, who says that the blood, while still in the neck of the animal, is holy. Dam Sakin Mekatshole, the blood of the animal is sanctified and enables it to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach by the fact that the knife is being used to cut its neck. So the knife, in effect, is the method of sanctification of the blood. And as we saw before, v'abo l'kadesh kebo lahatir domi, an action that is designed to sanctify is considered an avoda hamateres. And according to what Rava originally said, only a case of an avoda she'eno materes would be sufficient for creating pigol or psul. In this case of the Shritas HaPesach and the two simonim in the neck, each one is considered part of an avoda hamekadeshes. And as a result of being an avoda hamekadeshes, it's insufficient to have the incorrect mindset during just one of them. Notice the next volcano shape is inverted. As far as the flow of Gemara, the previous stage, just before this, the volcano shape right before this, was also inverted. That was at a point in the Gemara at which we brought an answer for Rava, which is a defense of Rabbi Yochanan's position. Here, the volcano shape stays in the same position. That indicates that this next source, this Toshma that introduces the next source, in fact, is in defense of Rabbi Yochanan, and this is now a kasha on Reish Lakish. Toshma, Bamed v'mamurim, when is it that Pigol is established through an activity concerning the handful of a meal offering? Bekmitza, uvematan kli, ubehiluch. Pigol can be accomplished or established through the taking of the handful, the placing of the handful in a receiving kli, ubehiluch. My love, hiluch dahaktora. It says hiluch here. We've dashed underline it. Is it not talking about the carrying of the komets for its eventual burning? And in this Mishnah, the Chachamim don't argue. The Chachamim agree that this is enough to establish pigul. So we have the carrying of the komets to be burnt. Now there's a carrying of the Lavona also to be burnt. And this is telling me that for the Hiluch of the Komets alone, I establish Pigol. That is against Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, don't forget, he said that Hiluch of the Komets for its Haktorah is like Haktorah. And as such, it's a Chatzi Avoda. And the Chachamim would say, according to Reish Lakish, Ein Mefaglim V'Chatzi Matir. Here, though, we see that there is Pigol established through the Halacha of the Komets to be burnt. Loi. The Gemara says, Hiluch Dematan Kli. This is not talking about the carrying of the Komets to be burnt, but rather this is talking about the carrying of the Komets in anticipation of it being placed into its service vessel, into its klishores. This is an avoda shlema because there is no matan kli when it comes to the koimets of when it comes to the lavona. So since there is the matan, this is carrying in anticipation of matan kli. This is something that doesn't take place with the lavona. Therefore, it's an avoda shlema. Therefore, this hiluch is sufficient. According to everybody, Reish Lakish acknowledges this, to establish Pigol. Question. Ihachi. Notice, of course, with the geometric form, this trapezoid narrow facing down, this represents something problematic for Reish Lakish. Well, Ihachi, if your pshat is correct, the order of events that were mentioned in the original source doesn't reflect this. In the order of events, Hiluch appeared after Matan Kli. It said in the source, "Bematan Kli ubehiluch." But according to your answer, it should have been as follows: "Behiluch uvematan kli miboyalei." Because you were telling us that the Hiluch here is not the carrying to be burned; it was the carrying before being placed into the second Kli Shores. So it should have said Hiluch before Matan Kli. So Reish Lakish would answer, Ha lo kashya, tani hachi. So restate the source. If it's a function of simply order of words, that's not enough to knock off my approach. I will tell you, they have to reorder the words. Another question, though. Bo loi lahaktorah. After the source taught the first three stages, namely Kmitza Matan Kli Ubehiluch, it then went on to say in the source, Bo lo lahaktorah. According to the restated order of things, it should rather say, Bo loi lahoilocha miboyalei. Namely, to carry the koimetz after it was placed in the matan kli, into the kli. Once again, you mentioned, Reish Lakish had mentioned, that you had done Hiluch, carrying it to the Matan Kli, and then the Mishnah said, you come to burn it. But at this point, after it was placed into the, after the Kometz was placed into the Kli Shares, it's Kli Shares, the Mishnah should have said, he now comes to carry it. Why does it say, Bo lo lahaktori, comes to burn it? So Reish Lakish will answer, Ho lo kashya, since at this stage his carrying of the Kli Shares with the Kometz in it is a carrying to eventually be burnt, Kari lo Haktorah. It's called Haktorah already at this early point, at the point that he starts walking with it to the Mizbeach. Elo Nosan, the source that said Nosan Holich Miboyale. In terms of accuracy, if you're talking about a case of his carrying, you said that the Bo lo lahaktora really meant he was carrying it to the Mizbeach to be burnt. But at that point that he started carrying it, he only started carrying it, why in the Mishnah does it talk about the putting on the fire? He hasn't come to that stage yet. He just started the walking. So that language shows that the Reish Lakish approach is a bit difficult. So as a result of that, the Gemara concludes, Kashya. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of the topic heading we have in the outside margin, the Nosei, Hamaktir Kometz Tipin Tipin. A person, Kohen, is putting the Kometz on the fire, but not in one shot. He puts it grain by grain. The Gemara uses the expression Shum Shum, a sesame seed. Means a very small quantity. He drops... grain by grain of the Kometz into the fire. B'machshava le'chol k'mokein, with the machshava that as he puts each grain of Kometz into the fire, he intends to eat the shirayim little by little the next day. We will see here Gimel Deos Amoroyim, three opinions of the Amoroyim on this topic. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice another geometric form, a house form. We have this described under our Mivneh heading, and we call this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take nature of the Gemara. With the point facing up, these will represent Nisyonos Lahasbir Hadeos. We will see two attempts to explain the three Amoraic opinions in the Gemara. At one point in the Gemara, after the first approach is presented, you'll see the house form flipped over. That represents a kushya, question on the first approach. So we described what we will see in the Gemara. Now let's turn to the Gemara itself. Hiktir kedei shum shum le'echol lumochar. Ad shekola koimetz kuloi mahu. You have a person dropping into the fire grain by grain of the handful of meal offering. And as he drops each grain of meal offering, he expresses his intention to eat in a similar way, eat grain by grain of Shirayim the next day, namely beyond its right time. And he does this until he finishes offering the entire handful. In other words, he does the whole handful drip by drip with this continuous intention, grain by grain. three names, Rav Chisda, Rav Amnunov, Rav Sheshes. Chad Omar Pigol. One says that this establishes Pigol. The Chad Omar Pusel. One opinion says that it's not Pigol, but it's still unfit. The Chad Omar Kosher. One says it's totally all right. That the korban is kosher and you can eat the shirayim. Lema. This is a suggestion in anticipation of explaining each opinion. Lema madomar pigol Rebbe Meir. The one who says pigol, this is in accordance with Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir holds mefaglin b'chatzi matir. So at the point that you offered part of the handful, that is considered a partial matir, and therefore pigol could be established. Umadam Apostle Karabonan, the one who says that it's not pigol, it's because this opinion reflects that of the Chachomim that hold Ein Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. And as we saw earlier when we learned the Mishnah, we mentioned that the Chachomim hold, when they say Ein Bo Kores, what they're really saying is that it's posel, it's unfit, but it doesn't become real pigol in order to carry with it a kores penalty. Uman de Omar Kosher, and the opinion that says it's totally okay, Ket Rebbe, that opinion reflects Rebbe that says that halves are not mitzaref. The Rashi quotes the opinion of Rebbe rather briefly. He says, "Kerebi the Omer Liel Omer Ani Sheze Kosher the Ein Chatzoyin Mitzdarfin, that halves don't join up." Rebbe's Shita was on Daf Yud Dalid Amud Aleph, and there at the top of Yud Dalid Amud Aleph was a Tanaic source that featured someone shechting the Kivsei Atzeres. He shechted one keves with the intention of eating a half zayas, a half olive quantity of the bread, of one bread, and then shechted the second keves with the intention of even eating a half quantity of half zayas, chatzi zayas from the second loaf. Well, Rebbe says that that's kosher because two half kezesim, one half zayas from one loaf and the other half zayas from the other loaf, do not join up. In this case, each grain of kometz that's being offered concerning eating a grain of which is much less than a kezayas of shirayim, so those partial amounts do not join up. Mimai. Here, the Gemara challenges the analysis that was just stated, and you can see with our marking that we have the house form becomes inverted, representing, as we did in our structural note, a question. Dilma, it might be argued as follows, and you'll notice we have a dashed underlining to help you to help isolate each opinion. Dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Meir hasam. Rabbi Meir maybe said what he did regarding mefaglin b'chatzi matir elo dechishev b'shiuro. When he took the komets, in the case of the komets and lavona situation, when he was burning the komets, he had in mind a complete shiur. If you look in the Rashi, he says the chishev kishiro shechishev kishiur haktora shlemo biyachad. He had in mind a complete quantity. Not like in this case where he has in mind only a shumshum quantity, a sesame seed amount. Whereas in the case of Rabbi Meir, even though his machshava was during a chatzi matir, but his machshava concerned a shiur shalem. For example, he was offering, let us say, the komets, placing the komets into the fire with the intention of eating a full kezias of shirayim lomachar. That's different than the case over here, where he has in mind to eat only as each time he's dropping into the fire the kometz, he has in mind only to eat a shumshum amount the next day. Let's read that again from the beginning of the line. Ad kan lokum rabbi meir hasam elo dechishev b'shiuro. Aval hocha, in the case of the offering the handful in grain by grain fashion, the lo chishev b'shiuro lo, maybe there Rabbi Meir would say it does not establish pigul. The ad kan lo koamri rabbonon hasam, maybe the rabbonon said that the korban, the mincha, would be posel only. Elo de lo chishev bei bekulei matir. There he was machashev only during the kometz and not during the lavona. Aval hocha de chishev bei bekulei matir. Rashi explains that in this case where he's dribbling the kometz into the fire, he'll do the same thing with the lavona. So in effect, you have his machshava taking place during the kometz offering and the lavona offering. Hochi nami. The Pogil, the Rabbanan, would concede that there is Pigul over here. The Ad Kan, Lo Koma Rebbe Hossam, in the case with the Shnei Kivsi Atzeres, Rebbe said it was kosher, Elo De Lo Hodar Malyo Me Oisa Avoda. During that same Avoda, naming the Shechita of one Keves, he didn't complete a Shiur concerning the eating of the bread. He only had a Chatzi Zayas of bread in mind. Aval hocha, in the case of the offering of the kometz, eventually he offers the entire kometz with an entire shiur in mind. Aval hocha dehoder malyo me'oisa voida hochi nami deposil. Rebbe would concede that over here it in fact is posel. Elo. So therefore, we have to offer a new explanation for these three opinions. Elomandomer Pigol, he who says Pigol, Divrei HaKol, he is saying it according to all Tanoim. In other words, the Amora here that we have listed off, we had above, Rav Chisra, Rav Hamnuna, and Rav Sheshes, and the Amora, the one of them that says Pigol, he is saying his opinion according to all opinions of Tanoim. Mandomer Posel is Divrei HaKol. Mandomer Kosher, Divrei HaKol. And the Gemara now explains. Mandomar Pigol, Divrei HaKol, Kosovar, he's of the opinion, Derech Achilo Bekach, V'Derech Haktoro Bekach. It becomes Pigol because it's within the realm of normal offering to offer it in this grain by grain fashion and to eat it in this grain by grain fashion. Therefore, you have an avoda that's done kedarko with a machshava concerning an achila kedarko that will create pigol. Umanu reposel divrei kol, the opinion that says everyone will say that this is posel and not pigol. Kosovar derech achila bekach. It's true that people eat things in a grain by grain fashion. However, v'ein derech haktora bekach, but the normal way of offering things on the fire is not grain by grain. V'havya v'havoi lo, and it therefore becomes kamincha shelo huktara. It's as if you have a mincha that whose k'toras, whose kometz was not burnt. Well, a mincha whose kometz was not burnt is a mincha psula. It's certainly not pigul, but it's certainly not kosher either. In order for a mincha to be kosher, the kometz has to be burnt. And since you're telling me here that this is not the normal way of burning it, it's considered as if it hasn't been burnt. Umandam or kosher, divrei hakol, kosovar, derech haktora bekach. He will tell you that this is the normal way of offering. So as far as the Haktoras HaKometz is concerned, it's a totally kosher, good Haktoras HaKometz. The Ein Derech Achila Bekach. But it's abnormal to eat this way. And therefore, his machshava concerning eating at the wrong time and eating that's abnormal, that's not considered a machsheves achila. And therefore, there is no machsheves pigol as far as we are concerned, and therefore you have in effect a good haktorah without a machsheves pigul. Therefore, it's a kosher mincha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.